Good job, John Boy. Doesn't he do a great job? Why don't you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 2:2. I'm going to share some scriptures with you tonight. That great men of God, most of them are in heaven now. But I want to share some scriptures that they shared with me. 1 Timothy 2:2. No, I don't think I'm right on that. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, let me see here. Where am I at here? It must be. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:2. It's a theme of our school. I've been having trouble with my memory, and it's really bad. When I went to Bible college, this was a theme of our college. I went to two colleges. I went to Midwestern Baptist College with Dr. Tom Malone. And I was actually with an extension out of Tom Malone up in Fremont, Ohio. Then the preacher took a church over, went to California. So I ended up in Toledo Bible College. But I had great teachers wherever I went. I had great teachers. I want to read this to you. I was studying out of this book today. I usually just keep it downstairs. If someone calls me, I have it right there by the phone. Where someone asks me a Bible question, I can just grab it and give you an answer. And just pulled it out and looking at it today, Rod. Reading in it. I was studying the book of Psalms in different places. And then God got a hold of me. I opened and turned the front of it. And I saw all those names that signed this Bible. Never brought a message like this. Here's the title. By the way, Jack, is Jack still here? Oh, he's got a birthday. Well, when you see Jack, tell him happy birthday, okay? But I put a title on this, Passing It On. Pass it on to someone else. And look what the scripture says there in 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. God says we're to study our word, his word, put it in our heart, and then pass it on to others. I surrendered to preach on March 22nd, 1970. It was a Wednesday night. I was my birthday. I was 21 years old. My mom came to church for me that night. And it was at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. And we had a late preacher preaching. The pastor was gone. It was one of the guys, Brother Joe Helka. And he had a couple of late preachers, Ken Snyder and Joe Helka. And, they always filled in when the preacher was gone. And they, I think it was Brother Helka that night that preached. But God had been working in my heart about preaching. And that night, I couldn't stop myself. Brother Nowak, I just came forward and dropped at the altar. And I told Brother Huck, I think God's calling me to preach. You have to understand, I've never been one that was real educated. I was a street kid. I was a juvenile delinquent. I'm not proud of it. And I know how God could use a guy like me. By the way, when I went to Bible college, I got straight A's in everything I did. Because when it's for God, you can do it, can't you? And I was preaching by the time I was a sophomore in high school. By the time I was a second year in Bible college, I was preaching the chapels. I was preaching chapel services for the, you have preaching at the Bible college every week. And Dr. Brooke had me, by the time my second year in college, he had me preaching to all the guys. And so what a blessing it has been preaching over these 43 years. But I got looking today, Eddie. And I don't know what made me do it. I started looking at the names. By the way, I've had lots of people sign my Bibles over the years. But there was about 10 of them in there. And I got thinking, I said, you know what? I'm going to put down every name. I think there's 10 of them. And we're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to look at the scriptures that they wrote down for me in my Bible. Amen? But before we do that, I'm just going to give you the tenets in the Bible tonight. And we're not going to turn to you, but like I know in other Bibles, one of the greatest preachers ever walked this earth was Dr. Roy Thompson. Roy Thompson was a good friend of mine. And well, he's in heaven now. He built a big Cleveland Baptist temple up there in Cleveland, probably 2,000 to 3,000 people. And he was a great man of God, and I'm glad he was my friend. See, what's exciting about this, Brother Nowak? I'm going to name some great men off to you that some of you people will remember. Eddie, not only did I get to hear these men preach, some of these men I rubbed shoulders with. Some of these men I got to be good friends with. Some of these men, we did things together. We ate together, went out together, and with our, like, me and Rosie would meet with Dr. Roy Thompson, his wife. We'd go out to dinner together. And, Roy was a great man of God. How many here remember Roy Thompson? Dr. Bruce Cummings and things like that. Let me just give you a couple names that you're not going to get to hear me preach on. Dr. Carl Hatch is a man that he was a great soul winner. Dr. Curtis Hudson. I was with Dr. Curtis Hudson several times. Sat with and ate with him. And at the end of his life, Dr. Hudson, but at the beginning, Dr. Hudson wasn't a 1611 guy. Oh, he preached it, before he died, he got up and said, "I believe it's a pure, infallible word of God." Dr. Curtis Hudson. By the way, that Dr. Hudson, you talk about a guy who can preach. His messages were filled with stories. He was probably the greatest preacher, Billy, telling stories. He could talk about anything, and he'd always weave them into the gospel. It was tremendous. What a great man. Dr. Bob Gray, you've heard Dr. Bob Gray Sr. here, Dr. Gray Jr. Did I mention Carl Hatch? Carl Hatch was crazy, man. Carl Hatch was nuts. People would be in the toilet in the restroom. He'd shove tracts and, "Hey, read this." And Dr. Dean Martin, Dr. Dean Miller, Dr. Jim Delaschmidt, Dr. Lester Roloff. I love Lester Roloff. And Dr. Lee Robinson, double-breasted. One year I got to, when I was a young kid, I preached with Lee Robinson. I was on the platform with Lee Robinson. I preached first, he preached after me. But I got to be with Lee Robinson. One time I preached with Lee Robinson. What a great man of God, amen? How many remember Dr. Lee Robinson, Tennessee Temple? All right. Great man of God. Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. Pontiac, Michigan, Midwest Baptist College. And Tom Malone, when I was a young kid, preached. We had a meeting up there in Maumee, Ohio. And I was just starting out. Tom Malone actually gave me an offering, and he wrote me a personal note. And I can't find it, but he did give it to me years ago, 40-some years ago. Tom Malone gave me a personal note. How many like to get a personal note from Tom Malone of encouragement? And these are some men that I actually got to be with, I preached with, I got to rub shoulders with them. Just great men of God. And I'm sure I've got way more that in Bibles signed, but I'm going to give you the ones that I have in this Bible here. And I think this is the Bible I came with when I candidated for Bethel. I think this is only because that mayor's name's in here. And he was the mayor at the time when we came here. Now, I could have had another Bible, maybe this is one right after that, but it would have to be pretty close when I became Pastor Eddie, or shortly after. And so this Bible would go back, I came here in 1990, so this Bible would date back actually before 1990, because I've got names in there that I know that they were never here. And so probably this Bible goes back in the late 80s, mid 80s. Amen? Don't throw those Bibles away. They're always good. Amen? Well, I want to share with you tonight. And I didn't put them down anywhere. I just wrote them as they came. Dr. David Wood. I don't know if any of you ever heard Dr. David Wood. David Wood was a tremendous. How many of you ever heard of Dr. David Wood? Nobody. Wow. Just you. Whoo. He had a great. But now remember, like I was telling young Billy, these men were when I was a young man. So they're going back maybe even in the 70s, okay? Some of these, if you're younger, you weren't born when these people were. But Dr. David Wood was a great soul winner. He was a man that taught soul winning clinics. And he was a great Bible teacher and evangelist. Do you remember where he was out of? He was out in the South, wasn't he, Rod? But Dr. David Wood was a phenomenal preacher and a great man on soul winning. But here's James chapter 5, verse 20. James 5:20 is the scripture. If you're in Timothy, just turn up. James 5:20. This is a scripture that he wrote. He wrote James 5:20 in my Bible. I love this scripture. In James 5:20, here's what David Wood passed on to me. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul. Amen. But more than that, Coolidge. Not only will he save a soul from death, shall hide a multitude of sins. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Billy, I'm glad I got saved because even though I still sin, I'm not near sinning like I was before when I was lost. I mean, Christ has brought me out of the darkness into marvelous light. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad that look at that scripture again. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. He won't die and go to hell. If that was all you said, that would be enough to do it. Because just God's word says it's not, and stay there, James. But Peter said, Jesus said, it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You think Eddie White's a rascal? Just think if he wasn't saved, what he'd be. He'd be dead. Lizzie would have killed him by now. And so, Eddie, you and I are, this James 5 is really talking about us, 5:20. And by the way, not just me and you, Eddie, everybody. Amen? And then, let me give you the next scripture. Dr. Daryl Dunn, he was an evangelist. He did a lot of prophecy. Does anybody remember Dr. Daryl Dunn? Kind of through the Tennessee way. Real big man. Big, probably 6'3", 6'4". Powerful preacher. He was up in Ohio a lot when I was a kid. Dr. Daryl Dunn. Galatians 2:20 put in there. Look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I wonder, are we walking in faith? Are we trying to live for Christ? Is Christ living through us? He wants to. Amen. And this great man of God, I haven't been in contact with him for years. Dr. Daryl Dunn did a lot of prophecy and stuff like that. Did you ever meet him, Rod? Big guy, real big man. Here's some of the fundamentals. Here's the next one I had was Wendell Zimmerman. And he was an evangelist, Bible teacher. I believe, wasn't he the president of Bible Baptist College? I think he was, or something connected with it years ago. He preached at Hammond, no doubt, and I probably got this sign when it was at Hammond. Wendell Zimmerman, Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verse 5. Look at that verse. These are the great men of God in our... By the way, I think almost all of them are... Well, I don't know, maybe David Wood might be... I don't think these other two men, the last two men, are alive yet. Psalms 37, 5. David Wood might be alive, but I don't think the other two are alive right now. Psalms 37, verse 5. Psalms 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. This is the William Wendell Zimmerman was a great man of God. And he wants us to commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. You know, a lot of times we like to do things our own. And usually when we get to the wall, we can't go nowhere. We can't find the like the lady that spent all her money on the doctors and finally said, oh, I better try Jesus. It's sad, but a lot of times we get to the where we have nowhere to go to, nowhere to turn. She went to every doctor to try to heal her. And then she finally went to Jesus and got healed. You know, we need to commit ourselves to God and not try to lean on our own understandings. Amen? And this great man of God said, this verse was precious to me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Are we committed to him now? Do we trust him now? If we commit and trust him, he'll bring it to pass. You say, well, that ain't what I wanted. No, it's what he wants. You know, a lot of times our kids, we tell them, don't put your hands in that fire. Don't get near that fire. You're going to get burnt. You know, the reason they do it, we tell them not to because it hurts and we don't want them to get hurt. It's better to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Amen. Let's learn to commit our things to God. Let's try to get the flesh out of the way and let's try to commit everything we have to God. That's our family, our children, our lives, everything to God. And then the next one, I wrote down Bruce Cummings. Bruce Cummings was a pastor over here at Massillon Baptist Temple for years. I'm going to guess 40 years. He's the founder of it. How many remember Dr. Cummings? We used to bring him in at the twilight of his life. I used to keep bringing him in here. What a great man of God. He was one of the greatest that ever walked the earth, Bruce Cummings. I'm glad he was a close friend to me. He was a close friend to me. He was a Navy man. And when he was on the ships, he was a radio operator. One day I had him over at my house, and I had a great radio collection. I had this old naval radio. I don't even know where I got it from. And he said, oh, my lands, that's the same thing I used to talk on when I was in the Navy. Buddy, that's all it took. I said, I'm giving this to you, preacher. He said, I didn't say it. And Bruce Cummings, he didn't want, that was the most humblest, greatest man I've ever met. Nobody walked closer to God than Bruce Cummings. I'm going to tell you that right now. When you got around Bruce Cummings, you were around a man that walked with God. I went to his home before he died and said, I just want you to put your hand on me and pray over me. There was about four men with me that day. I don't remember who the four, were you one of them, Rod? There was four of us that went there, three or four of us. I knew he was getting at the twilight, and I said, I want you to put your hand on me and pray over me. He said, oh, Brother Skyver, I'll do it, but not until you pray over me first. That's the kind of man he was. Here I am, nobody. He's a great man of God. You know, that's the way, I'm going to tell you, how many got to hear Bruce Cummings here in our church? You heard a great man of God when you heard Bruce Cummings. And Bruce Cummings was my friend. Did you know him, Pastor Rich? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yep. They're great people. I think her name was Wanda. Am I right on that? Yeah. Wanda. Yeah. And by the way, I'm on Bruce Cummings right now. Bruce Cummings was just a down-to-earth, great guy. I love Bruce Cummings. And they don't make them like Bruce Cummings no more. I'm sharing some of these men with you, Kurt Coolidge. They were some of the greatest men that ever preached. And Eddie, we got to see them. We got to hear them. I actually got to be with them sometimes. I ate with them and went out with them and did things with them. That's special. I'll tell you. I wish I'd got a little closer because I wish a lot more of it would have rubbed off on me. I'll tell you, I'm talking about some great men tonight. They're with the Lord. And so Bruce Cummings, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11. Here's what Bruce wrote in my Bible. Dr. Cummings wrote Mark 11, 24. Therefore, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Bruce Cumming was a man of prayer. I'm going to tell you that right now. He was a man of prayer. Brother Mike likes a man of prayer. Brother Mike, Bruce, Dr. Cummings was a great man of prayer. You can't beat prayer. Therefore, I say unto you, what so things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Cummings, the old farm boy, turned that whole Massillon area upside down for God. I think they hit up maybe some of their high goals might have been around 3,000 people at one time. I know it's not that big now, but years when they're in the great years that they had there, I know he ran 2,000, and I think they might have peaked sometime near 3. But what a great man of God, and built one of the largest fundamental Baptist churches in all America. Not the largest, but one of them. Had a great Bible college. Did you go to Massillon Baptist College, preacher? Amen. Yeah, amen. But, Bruce Cummings, read that again. Look at 11:24. These are what great men of God wrote in my Bible. These are some verses here that they made their life around. Don't take these verses lightly. Bruce Cummings believed in faith. David Woods, he was a guy that cared about souls. David Woods was just a great soul winner. Therefore, this is Dr. Cummings. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. He built that great work, Dr. Bruce Cummings. I'm glad I got to know him. I'm glad he was my friend. And I'm glad he preached in this pulpit right here. We were honored to have Dr. Bruce Cummings. He's in heaven now. We'll see him when we get there. But this is my own personal view. Rod, I believe Dr. Cummings, in my heart, if I had to pick the 10 greatest preachers that ever walked in my life on this earth while I was alive, I think he'd be in that 10, in that group. I really do. And Bruce Cummings, I love Dr. Cummings. Great man of God. Still, the church is still there. Brother Thayer is the pastor. He used to be our missionary here, Brother Thayer. Cecil Thayer, now he's a pastor there. And so I'm glad we're having part of that through him. Amen?
He was brought up under Dr.
Yeah, right. Isn't that exciting? And so these are great men of God that have shared the faith, Eddie. I'm glad they touched our lives too. We ought to be wanting to touch other people's lives. Amen? Then Howard Sears. Howard Sears was a great man of God. I didn't know a whole lot about him, but I got to see him. But he was a great man of God, Howard Sears. Did you know anything about him, Rod? Yeah, I did too. But just a tremendous. He put down Philippians 4:19. Let's go for Philippians 4:19. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians. Philippians. Here's 4:19. Stay in that Philippians because I got another one coming up in Philippians. Dr. Howard Sears, one of the great preachers of our country, in heaven now. 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. By the way, is he your God? Dr. Howard Sears, he trusted his God to supply for him. You can do that too. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a familiar verse. When we used to go to Bible college, that's one of the first verses they taught us. But because you're always worried about paying your tuition. Pray, boy, pray. Go out there and pray. And God will supply it. But my God shall supply all your need. Didn't say your wants. Your need, according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And by the way, he will give you, Psalms 37 says he'll give you the delight of your, if you delight in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But when you're delighting in God, you won't be, your desires would be heavenly things, not worldly things. It's a difference.
Why don't I get it, preacher? I'm delighting in the Lord. You must not be delighting that much to want that worldly thing. Hello? And then the mayor. I was blessed when we came here. Don Kainrad was the mayor of Ravenna, Ohio. And Don Kainrad was a born-again Christian. And every Tuesday, all the preachers, not all of them, about five of us, every Tuesday we'd meet with Mayor Don Kainrad, and we'd get down and pray together every Tuesday. The mayor in Toledo never asked me to pray with them. Matter of fact, they didn't even want me to even pray to open up some of the things down there. I prayed once, and they never called me back again. But when I came here, I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my lands, this is tremendous. Even the mayor want, I know he was a Democrat, but he was really, he went on, because you can't get elected unless you're a Democrat here, but he was really a Republican disguised, but he had the thoughts of a Republican. I'll tell you that. I get you mad, but that's all right. They are Democrats, trust me. But he was a born-again Christian, and he really loved God. He's still around here. And sometimes, I think he works as a chaplain sometimes at Robinson Hospital. Every Tuesday, there used to be a little restaurant where the Dunkin' Donut is? I don't remember the name of that. There was a little restaurant on that corner, Carl. What was it? Yeah, okay, there they are. And we'd meet there for coffee and breakfast. And then after we got done eating, right, that we get, we they kept, they gave us a little back room there. And we'd get down, the four or five of us and the mayor, and we would beg God to bless this city and bless our people. And I had some great days of prayer with my mayor. And not many fundamental preachers can say they get to pray with their mayor every week. I used to pray with our mayor here. He's not mayor now, but when he was the mayor, I used to pray with him every week. Amen? And he had Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And he was the best politician I ever saw. He was real. Don Kainrad was a good, upright man. And I love Don Kainrad. I still love Don Kainrad. His wife is named Lori, and she got saved later. And they have a boy, and I think it's Sean. My memory, since I've been sick, I can't grasp everything I used to have. But anyways, I can do all. Hey, I can do all things through Christ. How about you? We can do it through Christ, not our own. Amen? And then I want to get down to three last ones that I really, where are you at? Philippians? Dr. Carl Hatch, Romans 8:28, he wrote. Carl Hatch was a soul winner, man. Carl Hatch was a dynamic preacher. And he just was, Billy, he was so pumped for soul winning. I never saw a man that could preach like that. And he preached one week in Toledo all week, him and another man. And at the end of that week, I went out. I said, I'm starting Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I did. Those men, God used, he was one of the men that God used to help motivate me to get out and start a church. And he said, they're dying, going to hell, you young preachers out there not doing nothing. Get out there and do something, boy. And I said, you're right. They are dying. I went back where I grew up. Went back to the north of the ghettos. Built a church called the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Was there for 9 years. Had over 1,000 recorded professions of faith. Saw some miracles down there. And, Carl Hatch, God used him. He was one that, he preached. And there was one other preacher, and I can't remember. They preached all week. And they preached in the morning and the afternoon. Then I worked second shift. I had to go to work at 3 o'clock. I never caught the night services because I had to go to work. But I caught all the morning services. And God did a great work that week, really motivated me. And Carl Hatch was really one of the men that God used. How many, did anyone ever hear Dr. Hatch? It's tremendous. And just a short guy.
had a little grumbly voice. He had a real growly voice. What's wrong with you guys?
He would have snapped you behind your head, Eddie. That guy was he was a no-nonsense guy, I'm telling you. He was no-nonsense. And he sure loved souls, boy. Carl Hatch loved souls. And what a great soul winner. And then, did I read Romans 8:28? Romans 8:28, we know we can quote it, but for we know that all, and we know, and we do know, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Watch. And to them who are called according to his purpose. They work good to, all things work together for good for two groups of people. Those that love God, those are the ones that are saved, and the ones that are going to be saved. And to them who are the called, according. Listen, I don't know who's going to be saved, but God does. By the way, God wants all people to be saved. And so don't say, he's not talking about election there. He's just saying, God's got a great love for you. For instance, look up, let me give you a thought. That Romans 8:28 is a tremendous verse. Because Eddie, you and I are knuckleheads. Well, we still might be both. But God saw way before we got saved, Eddie, God knew we were going to be saved. And that's why you end up marrying Lizzie. And that's why I end up marrying Rosie. Now, granted, I met Rosie right before I got saved. They took me to church, and I got saved hearing the word of God because of Rosie's family there. But God, I really believe that God worked things for good. The reason I met Rosie, God was working for good. I met my wife because God was working for good for me, because he knew one day in the near future after I met, I was going to get saved. He knew I was going to be called to preach. How many are with me yet? And so you say, man, God, listen, God don't make no mistakes.
That's right.
God knows how to do things. We just need to step back and let God do it.
Amen.
You say, well, what did you take Rosie on a date with? I'll tell you the dates I took her out. We went to church. We went to church pickets. We went to church fellowships. That's what I took from her mom. Said, yeah, you can take her on a date. I'll tell you when you're taking her. And that's where you ought to be too with your kids.
Amen.
Protect those kids. Then I got saved, and then shortly after, me and Rosie got married. But I had a profession of faith. I really didn't get saved until a few months after we were married. But I thought I was saved. I had a profession of faith. And but I didn't have a possession. Then God showed me. But had I not did that, though, even that false profession of faith, look up here. Even that false profession of faith, when I went in the back room with Dr. Milton, Pastor Milton, he said, man, I knew when they were giving that altar call, and everybody looked at me in my black leather jacket, my stinking hood clothes. I said, I know they're pointing right at me. One day he took me in the back after a couple services, and he said, you want to be saved, boy? I said, yeah, I guess. That's what I need. Okay. I know I need something. And I said this in a prayer with Pastor Milton, Frank, a good man. He's in heaven now. He's my first pastor. And I said the sinner's prayer with him. And we thought I got saved, got baptized, started going to church every day, witnessing. I quit running with people, cut off the alcohol. You say, well, you weren't even saved. But, yeah, but God was still working for good. How many are still with me? Then I got married to Rosie, knowing, thinking that I was a saved man. 2 months after we married, I'm sitting there reading. I read my Bible every day after that. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner. I said, oh, my lands, I'm lost going to hell. Boy, I'm glad God's got a plan for us.
Yes. Yep.
And then I got down with no green couch, paid $110 for the couch, and everything, chairs, and everything, dated. $110 for all the works. Said, Jesus saved my soul. I got saved. Now, I don't think if I had all that stuff before, I don't think I ever would have got to that place had those other things not took place. How many are with me? God works everything out if we'll just stay in his plan. Amen? And so, Dr. Carl Hatch, all things work together for good. Here's my buddy, Dr. L. Lacey, my good friend.
Hebrews 4:12. Yeah, I bet you know what that is. It's all in the Word of God. Dr. L. Lacey, I'm almost done. Dr. L. Lacey, Hebrews 4:12. You know what I'm excited about, Lizzie? Half these men that are great men of God on this, that I've got on this, I was actually pretty good friends with most of them. Not all of them. But now the first three I didn't know real, real good. But these last people that I'm doing, I knew real well. I knew Dr. Cummings. I knew Dr. Roy Thompson. I knew him. I was more than that. I was their friend. When Roy Thompson died, his wife called me, said, "Preacher, Roy just went to be with the Lord." She called me and Rosie. When Dr. Thompson died, the morning he died, she was up all night. She actually called me and Rosie before she went to bed. Said, "Roy just went to be with the Lord. Wanted you to know that." That's the kind of friendship we had. Amen? I'm talking about Roy Thompson was one of the greatest men that ever preached the Word of God. Bruce Cummings, one of the greatest men that ever preached the Word of God. L. Lacey was one of the smartest guys, one of the greatest guys that ever preached the Word of God. These were all close friends to mine. Hello? And I don't know, I was also read, but Dr. L. Lacey, he's around 80 years old, still going for the Lord. He's home, he's not out to preach no more, but still going forward for Christ. Look at Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I'm going to tell you, this Bible, you take that's why, Brother Mel, when you win those people, when you bring this Bible to those people, and you just read the Word of God, preach the Word of God, share the Word of God, it's like a sword. It goes, penetrates in their heart.
Amen.
It goes through anything, because the Word of God is more powerful than anything in the world. And that's why when you preach like that lady that came and got saved Sunday morning, going,
yeah.
"Brother Mike, I hadn't seen that lady for 3 or 4 years.
That's right, amen.
I witnessed her, because we put all the people down at Holiday Inn for the most part. Years ago, we had that Super 8 over there for about 20 years, my first pastor there, my first 20 years. And I went to this girl's all the time. Bobby, that girl came in Sunday. The preacher kept saying, "I had to come. I haven't seen her in 3 years. But she didn't see me, but she couldn't get rid of God's
witness. That's right. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. She couldn't get rid of that witness. I told you the story, and I'll try to keep. I remember when I was a kid preacher, I witnessed to a guy in his house in Sylvania, Ohio. And poor Brother Dog, this guy was a big man. And I said, "You're going to die and go to hell without Christ." He visited our church. And I, "You got to get saved, man." Boy, he got mad. Woo, Eddie. He got mad. When they get that mad, Eddie, shut your King James Bible up and go home. Don't be stupid. "Oh, I'm going to stick here for Jesus." "You're an idiot." He almost threw me up on my ear, Ray. He was a big enough man to do it, too. If I had enough sense, I was real kind, because I knew maybe someday God would work in his heart. See, just leave a good testimony.
Right, amen.
Even if they don't receive you,
yep,
leave, make it say, "Well, okay, I said, I see I offended you, John. The Word of God's true, but I said, I'll leave your home. I won't bother you. I won't bother you no more. I give you my word, I won't bother you no more." And I left it. And about, I don't know, a year later, it's been several months, I get a call at around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Bob. A.M. I'm wearing me and Rosie sleeping. The phone's ringing. I went, "Hello?" He said, "Hey, preacher!" I said, "Hello?" He said, "You probably don't remember me, but I'm the guy that threw you out of my house." I said, "Oh, yes, sir." At that time, I knew I could remember his name. I don't have his name on it. He said, "I just got a new phone." He said, "I just trusted Christ as my Savior. I can never forget what you told me." And he said, "I wanted you to be the first to know."
Amen.
Hallelujah! Say amen.
Amen.
God's
word never goes out void. Just keep it going. Keep sending it out. Keep putting the tracks out. Keep preaching. Keep doing it out. Because God's word never goes out void.
Amen.
Just like when you plant seed, you don't get to crop that next day.
That's right.
By the way, once we win, someone put seed in before we got there.
That's right.
I mean that.
You don't just go up and save people. They got to have the word of God first. And they have to have the word of God. That King James Bible.
Amen.
And that plants some, what's that, Corinthians? Some water, some plant, some water, but God give the increase over in Corinthians. Some plants, the seed, some water.
Right.
No matter, but it's God that gives the increase.
Amen.
I don't care if you're planting seed or doing the watering, but it's God doing all the saving. Amen. And so, Dr. L. Lacey, one of the greatest preachers, one of the smartest preachers on the Word of God, close friend. Matter of fact, when my pastor died, Dr. Roy Jones, years ago, I went and preached Roy Jones' funeral, and I called Al Lacey and I said, my preacher just died. I want you to be my pastor. I don't care who you are. Every preacher needs another preacher. And I said, would you, I want to be able to call you when I've got problems. I want to be able to call you about interpretation of scriptures. I want to be able to call you and try to get your thought on maybe some things I should do or should not do. He said, I'd be honored to be your pastor, preacher. I know he wasn't the pastor. But he pastored for 13 years. Now he was out in evangelist for like 35, 40 years. But before he did, he built a big church in Colorado. He built a huge church in Colorado, about 1,500, while he was pastoring there in Colorado. And then he went out in evangelist for like 35, 40 years. He probably authored 100 books, Dr. L. and Miss Lacey. I think 9 or 10, I think there was 13 Bible books that he did. And they wrote all those series. Every one of those series books, by the way, he always put the gospel in every one of them. He put our names in some of them, too. And he dedicated a book to me and Rosie, and I think Dave and Tammy Ballard, and I don't know how many times people he did here, but what a great man of God, Dr. Al Lacey. Pray for him tonight. Pray for his wife. And pray that God will help him and bless him. Amen. What a great man of God. And he was really learned in the scriptures. And then the last one I've got here, Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Hiles is in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel 12, verse 3. I love Dr. Hiles more than any preacher that I ever met. I think Dr. Jack Hiles was the greatest preacher, in my eyes, that ever walked the face of the earth. I know I'm positive he's the greatest preacher. In my eyes, he's the greatest preacher that of our time. He could be maybe the greatest preacher of all time. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about men, earthly men. And I love Dr. Hiles. I know a lot was said about him, a lot of things, but I was with Dr. Hiles for 30 years. For 30 years, I went to pastor schools and youth conferences and the jubilees that they did. I didn't go with the ladies, but we sent people and whatever else they have there. I don't know all the stuff he was. Whatever he had, I usually was there. I hardly ever missed a pastor school. We saw some great things there, didn't we, Rod? You were there one year when the Holy Spirit came down and that anointed that church that one night with all those preachers in it. You were there. I remember you and Debbie told me you were there. And I saw some, I never got to be with, I mean, I got to, I had lunch with Dr. Hiles. I sat and talked with Dr. Hiles. I didn't have the closeness with Dr. Hiles like I did Al Lacey, like I did Bruce Cummings, like I did Roy Thompson. Boy, those men, Roy Thompson, Bruce Cummings, they lived right here in this area. So I had a lot of access to them. I hung here with me. But Dr. Hiles, I know people tried to mar his name and stuff, but he had a heart for people. Jack Hiles had a heart for people. And I love people. That's why I could see him loving people, and that's how I love people. And I said, I told Rosie, that guy's just like I am. Or I'm just like that guy. I really love them people. Now, he was a far greater preacher than me, but my heart and his heart, we both cared about people. And he was a dynamic. I miss him. I loved him beyond measure. I had hundreds of his tapes. And then I know I don't have no more, but there for a few years, I gave a lot of those tapes up on Father's Day to you guys. So you would have something to remember Dr. Howes by. And but he was the greatest. Let me read what he said here, and I'll close. In Daniel 12:3. And how many got Daniel 12:3? And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. No church that I know of in recorded history had as many decisions for salvation as First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Under Dr. Howes, they reached out and millions of people that saved. That was his big thing, and he just went. I think God kept him going to keep the light on in America. When he died back over 10 years ago, we lost a great preacher. America lost, to me, one of the brightest lights that they had for Christ. He was a great man of God. I loved him beyond measure. I miss him beyond measure. You get a chance, and I'm all done. When you get a chance to hear these great men of God, go hear them. You get to be with them. Be with them. Yes, sir.
Preacher, could you put us down that list of the names again real quick?
Oh, yes. Dr. David Wood. Dr. Daryl Dunn. Now, those men I knew, and I was with those first two, but not real close, but I was with them. But not, I spent some, but I wasn't real close to them. Dr. Wendell Zimmerman, I was not close to him. I just probably heard him at pastor school or something. Wendell Zimmerman, that sounds like he's a Jew. Zimmerman, is that Jewish? Yeah. And so you got David Wood, Daryl Dunn, Dr. Wendell Zimmerman, Dr. Bruce Cummings, my friend. Dr. Howard Sears. I caught him in his twilight, Eddie. He was real old. When I was young, he was real. And I caught him, but Howard Sears was a great man of God.
Sears or Sears?
Sears, like just like the store. Sears and Roebuck. Dr. Howard Sears. Did I give you John Rollins? Yeah. I loved it. John Rollins was a real tall guy. John Rollins is why I'm here. John Rollins, and I'll stop with John. I'll give you the name. I'm going to tell you about John, and I'll give you the rest of the name when we're close. Dr. John Rollins pastored the big church at Landmark Baptist Temple down in Cincinnati, Ohio. John Rollins is a real tall guy, cowboy type guy. He was a country boy, unbelievable. He said what he wanted to say, he did what he wanted to do. He used to say, Jamie Ragel, did I have Ragel preaching this church years ago? Jamie Ragel could do his voice identical. He was a real tall guy, real idiot. He said, you young whippersnapper, I'll bump your head. John Rollins was a rough and ready guy, and he cussed once in a while, which I didn't appreciate. I'm not trying to build him up, but for years, he reached a lot of people for Christ. I wouldn't have him now because, of course, he's in heaven now, but he didn't take, I don't know how big a firm a stand, he used the King James Bible, but I don't know if he took the stand he did. But anyways, he might have, I'm not sure. But John, he was a rascal, Eddie. That guy, one guy gave up to John Rollins and he said, one day I was up there, a guy came up to me and he said, hey, you know your deacon back there? He said, yeah, I know, Bob. He just cussed me
John Rollins was taller than Brother Myers. He was a big man, bigger than, even taller than Pastor Myers. And, but he, boy, Mike, did he reach a lot of people for Christ. He was a fundamental Baptist. I don't know at the end how, but even when he started, he was right down the line with us. But he was preaching at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. And I was without a church. And I was candidating different churches. And I took a little Davey with me, my son David. I said, hey, there's a great man of God out there preaching at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. That's the church I started preaching, by the way. And that's the church I was baptized in, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. So we went to hear Dr. Rollins. It was Monday night. And then the next morning I went back by myself. It was a BBF meeting, Baptist Bible Fellowship. You can't do it no more because they don't take stuff. But back then you could. We're back in the 80s now. And after we ate lunch, I went up to the preacher. By the only reason I went there was to hear Dr. Rollins preach. That's the only reason I went to hear Dr. Rollins preach. And I talked to a preacher from Canton, Ohio. I can't pull his name up right now. But I said, you know any churches that are open? He said, yeah, I think there's one in Ravenna. He said, I think it's Bethel Baptist Church. And when he said that to me, the Spirit of God pricked my heart. I came home and I told Rosie, get a road atlas. She said, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, God just spoke to me out there at that church. We're going to a place called Robina, Ohio. Bethel Baptist Church. She said, and Tammy Dave said, Dad, I said, I'm telling you right now, we're going to Robina, Ohio. I know for a fact God's putting it. When he said Bethel Baptist, the Holy Spirit got right in my heart.
Amen.
I had two other churches were going to candidate me. Remember those? And I said, Rose, I know for a fact this is it. Pack your bags. And Tammy and Dave looked. They were just little kids. Come on, Dad. I said, I'm telling you. We're going to a place called Robina, Ohio. 2 days later, Dan Sable called me and talked to me, and then you sent me a resume. And then I sent it, and but had I not wanted to hear John Rollins preach, remember, all things work together for good? I might have never heard about Bethel Baptist Church being open for a pastor. That's exciting, amen?
Amen.
And so, let me give you the names, I'll stop, Bobby. But I'm so glad. Dr. John Rollins did a lot of good things. He was a rascal, but he did do a lot of good things.
What was his verse, preacher?
I'm going to give it to you. Proverbs 14:14. Proverbs 14. So we got, are you ready, Bobby? Let's go, then I got to get you guys out of here. Dr. David Wood, James 5:20. Dr. Daryl Dunn, Galatians 2:20. Dr. Wendell Zimmerman, Psalms 37:5. Dr. Bruce Cummings. Mark 11:24. How we doing? Dr. Howard Sears, Philippians 4:19. Dr. John Rollins, Proverbs 14:14. You got it, Rob?
Yes.
Read it, tell me. You got it from him.
Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself.
Yeah. John Rollins was a straight cussing preacher. I'm just telling you, John Rollins didn't give a flip what people thought. He was just an old time, like a frontiersman, an old time guy. Didn't give a flip. I know he loved God. He was a rough man. He was a rough man. He was a big, tall, rough. How many ever met John Rollins? Boy, just me and Ron? Wow. Okay. So, John Rollins was Proverbs 14:14. Mayor Don Kainrad was Philippians 4:13. How we doing? Dr. L. Lacey, Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 for Dr. L. Lacey. Dr. Carl Hatch was Romans 8:28.
and Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Hiles was Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Dr. Hiles cared about soul winning. He reached millions of, and he reached the poor people. He had millionaires in his church, but he reached the masses of poor people. He cared about the poor people. Dr. Hiles, when he was a little boy, some days all he had to eat was a potato. And his mom would make him go to bed like at 5 or 6 o'clock and make him sleep because he was so hungry. She said, "Jackie, go to sleep. Just let him, you won't be as hungry when you're sleeping." He came from poverty. Say he never owned his first pair of shoes, Dr. Hiles, until he was 12 years old. Me, Dr. Hiles, was the most giving, most caring, most powerful preacher that I ever met. Now, by the way, I didn't mention Dr. Lester Roloff, but Roloff was a great man of God, too. I might have mentioned him earlier. So that's what I put there. I don't have the other ones in front of me. That was just in this Bible. If you want the preacher's life verse, it's 1 John 5:5. 1 John 5:5. I'll close with that. 1 John 5:5. Pastor Skyver's life verse is this. 1 John 5:5. "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I'm glad I'm an overcomer through Christ. And that's the verse God gave me years ago. If I ever wrote in your Bible and you can't read it, it's 1 John 5:5. Because I don't have very good handwriting. 1 John 5:5. Yeah, and you get around these great men of God. Try to talk to them. Have them sign your Bible. Do anything. Just get close to them. Maybe it'll fall on you. Like it did for Elijah and Elisha. I want all I can get. Amen? Trouble is all, most of these men that I read to you tonight, probably 90% of them, 80% of them are already in heaven. You still got the Bob Grays. They're great men of God. And when you can hear a great man of God, go hear him.
Amen.
Take in all that God can give you. God has some great men out there that's sold out. I'm talking about real, but I'm talking about great, real great. Thank you, Bobby. But I'm talking about men that are really great men of God. But thank you, I appreciate that. That's kindness. And by the way, the great men of God don't know that they're great. Dr. Hiles didn't know he was a great man of God. I'm sure. To me, one of the greatest men that ever walked was Bruce Cummings. I love Dr. Bruce Cummings. He was my friend. Roy Thompson was my friend. I'm not talking about guys. I mean, we were close. We cared about each other. We prayed for each other. We called each other. We did things together. I'm glad God let me be with. I know a lot of people say, "Why do you bring those old guys in?" And I said to them, "I want some of theirs to fall on you."
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. Those great men of God, I get those great men of God, make sure, I don't care what you got, you come to church and hear those great men of God. Because you want what they got. You want what they got, trust me. And it don't come easy. It doesn't come easy. You gotta walk with God and know God and seek God and study the Word and prayer and seek His face. Those great men of God didn't become great by accident.
That's right.
They sought the Almighty. They wanted His will for their life. And that's why God did great things with them. They said, "You got it all, God. Take it. Whatever you can use." And they were just plain old farm, like Bruce Cummings. He's just an old farm boy. He wasn't no highfalutin fella. He was smart, but he wasn't no highfalutin. Jack Hiles, a little poor down poverty in Texas. I'm going to tell you, some of these great men of God, no, they were just plain people. Just like you and me. But they got a heart for God, and God used them. He can use every one of you the same way.
Amen.
Father, thank you for these great men of God. Lord, I've thought all day about it. Thank you I got to be with a lot of these great men. Lord, some of these men are the greatest in America's seen, and Lord, some of them are my best friends. They're close to me. You let me be with the greatness of America in the preaching. What an honor. Oh, God. Thank you for letting me be with those great men of God. Lord, I pray you'll bless my church tonight. Help them to go home and think about those scriptures that those great men of God left with us to share with others. Bless this coming Sunday. Give us a great day. Save souls and baptize people, Lord, and just fill the church up, I pray. Come down. Oh, dove of heaven, come down. Come down and anoint this church and myself and my preachers, my teachers, my people. Please help Bethel. Help Bethel to be a lighthouse in all of Northeast Ohio. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.